to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. And Jimmy was right. We are available at 1 o'clock, Monday through Thursday. We're live at 1 o'clock. So if you have a question or if you have a comment that you want to give, you can call us at 1-877. No. Yeah, that's right. It's rotated. 1-877-917-7256.
That's
again,
right.
That's 1-877-917-7256. And Rachel will pick up the phone and say, KLTT, Call to Freedom, and you can talk to us. Or you can email us. And our email address is Barbara Carmack, C-A-R-M-A-C-K, at freedomstreet.org, or Kimberly, K-I-M-B-E-R-L-Y, at freedomstreet.org.
Yes.
So you've got two choices here. And Kimberly has been receiving some emails. So I know that it's fun to receive emails and then letters for all of you who are mailing through the post office. Yep, you get it. We get it. We get your letters. We get your donations, all of that. And it's running smoothly. And once this computer, the new computer, is coming at my office tomorrow, It will be installed. So praise the Lord. May your life always be abundant, my friend, in joyful service, in daily blessings, in abiding love. I wish that for you today. Kimberly and I both wish that for you today.
We do.
You are blessed to dispense. You are. Give into the kingdom of God. It's the best thing you could ever do. Plant that seed and get a harvest. For in him you live and move and have your being. And I just want to reiterate the memory verse this week is Amos 5, verse 24. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Mm-hmm. Oh, we need more of God's righteousness, don't we, Kimberly?
We do, yes. Mm-hmm. And while we're doing the daily, let's just talk again about the new website. Please visit it. It's beautiful. freedomstreet.org. That new website does have a few disconnects, maybe call them glitches. We don't have everything worked out, but we're excited. We're excited about that website, and we should be online, well, tomorrow for donations again.
Yes.
But the donations that were given last week, we have received those. Thank you so much for all of you who are sowing your seed and letting that blessing that the Lord has given you just flow right through you to those in the world. We're so grateful for that. We also know that when we're blessed to dispense, we are blessed to love other people. Mm-hmm. That truly, it's love that keeps this world going. And we are blessed with a spirit of love.
Yes.
A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. And we dispense that is what we spread around the world.
Yes. I want to tell you also that those of you who are around, you know, in your 70s, you're entering into your 80s, maybe late 60s, you're used to a hard copy. You're used to me sending you CDs through the mail, and I can still do that for a while, but we are converting all the teaching that Darren and I did, and we're also going to be introducing blogs for those of you who want to read some up-to-date material, and Kimberly's going to be kind of in charge of that, and I'm grateful that she's got, she's a teacher, as you know, she is a teacher. So when you go to the website and go into the resource page, you're going to see MP3. All you have to do is click into that MP3, listen to that teaching just as if you had a CD in your hand. But you won't have a hard copy. You will have, as we in this you know, we're getting used to this digital age, us older people, and it's just a little more freedom, Kimberly. It mm-hmm. really is.
Yeah.
You don't have to go around looking for your CD. All you have to do is take that iPhone, click into freedomstreet.org, and you can go to the radio shows or any, you know, resources or mm-hmm. newsletters. We're going to have the newsletters on there also. So
it's exciting.
It really is. I'm excited to have something new. And you'll love what Chris has done with the picture of Jesus. And he's freeing us, friends.
Mm-hmm.
He's freeing us from all of the torment and what Satan had planned for us. He is here to kill, steal, and destroy. But Kimberly,
the enemy,
Jesus has given us abundant life.
Jesus has overridden the enemy. Yes, we are overcomers through Jesus. And he is freeing us. He has freed us. He will free us more. He is. He doesn't need any of those tenses. He's not a time being.
No, I know.
So,
wow. Yesterday, as we, Kimberly is helping me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. She's helping me get rid of all the cassettes. I've had dozens and dozens of old masters.
We might be able to say hundreds. It's feeling that way.
We filled a trash can, yes. Yeah. And you're saying, oh, no. We even threw away a cassette, a slave that duplicates cassettes. Because, mm-hmm. friends, they're no longer. They're no
Don't
longer.
Need
and we
anymore.
Need to really get used to the idea of when you become a new creation, old things, and that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things are passed away.
The old are passed away.
That's right. You can no longer go back to those. So everything is new. We need to get into that concept and mindset of everything new.
Yes, and be willing to walk in it. We're excited about that because this is going to fold right into what we want to talk about today. However, I do want to mention the flood victims and how it's just always on your heart to have people donate. And if you want to donate to Call to Freedom, and then make sure that we know that that is specifically for the flood victims. Write flood victims on your check or make a note of that when you do donate online. And we will make sure that we add to that and send a large check for those victims.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
But as we are talking about the newness out of the old and into the new, there's been a lot of old thinking in the church. There's been a lot of old thinking among Christianity. And, you know, it's not just Christianity. It's any religion. Religions form themselves and base themselves on rules, on regulations, on those things that we, standards that we say are important. And then we might forget about loving one another.
Yes. Yes. Jesus said, Kimberly, in Matthew 15, when he was specifically talking to Pharisees and scribes, and he said, you have honored, you have not honored your father and your mother. You have said they'll take care of themselves. And he said, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition, for the sake of your religious knowledge, and rather than getting in deep into the revelation that God has for you.
Yeah, and the revelation is love.
It is. God's love will always circumvent anything else.
Covers a multitude of sins. Love conquers all. In the end, there's faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
When we need faith right now, we're not going to need faith for all of eternity.
That's right.
We need hope right now, but we're not going to need hope for all of eternity. Mm-hmm. We will have love.
Yes.
Because God is love. And love is what triumphs over everything. So in 1 Corinthians 15:19, yesterday when we were talking about if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Another translation is, if the only benefit of our hope in Christ is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied more than all others. Let's go ahead and just put that word love in there. If the only benefit of our hope in love is limited to this life on earth, we deserve to be pitied.
Mm-hmm.
Because love is the eternal. Love is eternal. Love is not just for here and now. So if we are limiting anything in our thought life and in our relationships, if we're limiting anything at all, then we are not really thinking in love. We've got to take the limits off.
Yes.
And take our opinions off. That's, our opinions are limited. Our judgments are limited. Our motives, our agendas, our dreams, our goals, they're all limited. And we've got to take those limits off and really walk in love. So when we talk about Christ being raised from the dead, the deadness of our works, the deadness of our tradition, the deadness of our opinions, he's raised up from that. Mm-hmm. And he's just the first fruits.
Yes.
Of those who are being raised. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us.
That's
that
right.
We all get to follow in that. As we choose that way of love, we're following him up and out of that dead tradition.
Yes. When he has abolished all rule and all authority and all power, he reigns until he's put all his enemies, that's our enemies too, folks, all his enemies under his feet. How? By love. You're right, Kimberly. It's
well, what
love.
Are his enemies? It's since you went to that verse. What are Christ's enemies? Anything that is anti-Christ is anti-love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enemies of Christ would be pride. Oh, I have experienced that in my own life, just walking in pride and thinking that I know what's good, and I know what is right, and I know what is true, and I know what I need in this life.
I got to put it down every day, Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
I got to put it down.
That is an enemy to Christ, is our pride.
Yes.
So is anger and rage. When anger and rage are not left in his hands to handle, if we don't process our... I'm not saying that we can't ever be angry. It says to be angry, but do not sin in your anger.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that. We need to be careful not to sin by holding on to that anger that becomes rage. Then that anger can become bitterness and resentment. These are the enemies of Christ.
Yes.
That's what we want to be aware of. When we see those enemies rising up against him, that's when we can choose. Do we want to stay in the old nature, or do we want to become new?
Mm-hmm.
That old nature will wear itself out. We become weary and heavy laden, and Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. How? In my love.
Yes. In that same chapter in Ephesians 4 that Paul is talking about, getting into a new man situation, and he's giving you a new spirit. But you have to renew your mind, friend. You really do have to. And not with social media, unless it's in the Bible, but still... In the Word of God, it's so important that you set your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. He says, let he who steals steal no longer. Let him labor performing with his own hands. He says, no more unwholesome word, no more joking around, no more crude. I have some people that comes, I've got a joke for you. And I said, well, is it clean or is it something I've got to...
Filter.
Let none of that proceed from your mouth. See, Paul himself is saying mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, edifying each other, putting everything up above yourself according to the need of the moment. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. What is that? Your mouth. It's basically your mouth is going to say things that you regret maybe the second after you said it. So what we have to do here is think about what we are going to say, and then say it with kindness and say it with edifying words.
Right. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Mm-hmm.
And so it our mouth does get us in trouble, but it's our thoughts first. And putting those thoughts down, having them subdued under Jesus' feet, all of his enemies. He will abolish all rule and authority and power, and he will reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, from 1 Corinthians 15. This means that in our thought life, too, we want to become willing to submit those thoughts and surrender those thoughts. it's interesting because there's a gerbil wheel. There's a thought wheel in my head. It goes round and round and round. And I actually get a little bit of satisfaction going over and over and over all the ideas that I have to make something better, to make it right, you know, to fix it, or what I should have said. What I should have said to them when they said this to me. Mm-hmm. And that wheel loves to get going, and it just goes and goes, making the decision to jump off and say, I'm not going to stay with the old patterns. I want your love, Jesus. And, you know, there are times when I am so caught up on my wheel that I try hard to jump off and say, Jesus, I need you to help me. And I find myself right back on that wheel in 30 seconds. And then I have to say it again, Jesus, I want your rest here. I don't want to keep going over what I think might work for me.
Yes.
That's my mud puddle in this life. I don't want to just be sitting in a mud puddle. I want your ocean of love that you have for me, for my family, for my friends, for my community, for my neighbors, for my church. I want your love. And that's how we get into the new creation life.
Yes.
We get out of the old, that wheel that goes around. Or maybe you don't have a wheel. Maybe you have triggers that are in just right on the side of your head that get you inflamed and enraged really fast. And as you get angry, you find yourself just steaming and you're ready to blow. Ask Jesus to help you get off of that. Get off of that train that's ready to blow and get onto his love.
Yes. Amen. It's so important that we ask God for his wisdom and his understanding. And in Proverbs 7 verse 4, it says, wisdom, you are my sister. It would be good if you memorize this, because I say this often. Wisdom, when I need it especially, and I need it all the time. Wisdom, you are my sister. Understanding, you're my intimate friend. And James went on to say, all the kinds of wisdom that we have from God, and unlike the worldly wisdom. Some of you may have degree upon degree upon degree from colleges and universities, or you are well established in a business where you have learned all the ups and downs of that business and you know everything. But if you don't have the wisdom of God, you're going to lose, because the bitter jealousy, selfish ambition is going to come in and encroach on you. But if you don't know the wisdom of God, it comes down from above. It's not demonic, it's not natural, it's not earthly, and where jealousy and selfish ambition, if you are ambitious to the point of putting down a brother or a sister to get what you want, or selfish in wanting something that maybe you don't even have money for, but you're going to get it, you're going to have it. These exist, and there is disorder, and every evil thing in your life comes about because of jealousy and because of selfish ambition. But let me tell you what the wisdom from above is. The wisdom from above, and I'm reading from James 3, is pure and peaceable and gentle, reasonable. You can reason with people. You're no longer saying, well, I'm right and you're not.
Having reason within yourself and
yes.
saying, you know what? I don't even have to be right. I just need the love of God right now.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Right.
Continue. I interrupted.
No, you didn't. You added. You didn't interrupt. Full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You're saying one thing, but you're doing another. No longer. God is directing you. Holy Spirit is in you, and you are learning. You are becoming a student of the Word. I'm saying that as a prophetic thing for you today. You're no longer just stumped about what to do, or you're stayed in a place where you're idling and there's nothing you can do.
Or confused.
Yes.
Or worried.
That's
stressed
right.
out. Mm-hmm. Anxious. We're not in that place anymore.
No.
You are in a place where there's peace, there's mercy that covers everything that you're walking in. So when we go back to 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 22, it says, as in Adam, all died. That's the bitterness, the jealousy, the envy. That's what you were reading in
mm-hmm.
James.
Yes.
That's Adam. That's what Adam brought. You know, Adam and Eve, we were talking about sins that are big, sins that are little, trying to figure out which ones are bigger, which ones are smaller. Religion has done that, categorized sin. And we mentioned it yesterday. Eve simply ate an apple. Sin is when we separate ourselves from God. our Creator, the love of the universe. He is love. When we separate ourselves from that, then we are exposing ourselves to every jealous, angry, prideful agenda of yes. humanity.
Yeah, she didn't say, okay, I'm separating myself from God. No, she never would have. But that distraction and mm-hmm. that temptation came along, mm-hmm. and she listened to it mm-hmm. before she asked God, what do you think, Lord?
Right.
And there's nothing wrong.
She was
wrong.
Having a conversation with the serpent.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with when people ask, oh, you got to make this decision today. I need to pray about it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go home and pray about it and ask God what he thinks about it.
Right.
Knowing that you're going to get that little unction from inside that tells you exactly what to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jesus made the way for that to happen.
Oh,
and
yes.
So we're talking about Jesus, how Adam started all of humanity off in sin, and all have died in Adam. We're born into our own opinions now. Because of the fall of man, because Eve had that conversation with the serpent, we all have that conversation every day. Mm-hmm. We're going on and on in our minds on that little wheel that's trying to figure it out and has your own plans, or on that train of rage that you've been triggered and you are going to get even. And we all have that in our minds. Mm-hmm. We're born into that. So also in Christ, we will all be made alive. And that is the new creation life. In Christ is love. Christ came and showed us how to live in love toward one another. Even when somebody is planning something really harmful against you. Do you know Jesus called Judas his friend? Jesus invited Judas to the Last Supper knowing what Judas was planning.
Yes, Jesus washed his feet.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So he was not trying to correct Judas. He wasn't trying to talk him out of it. He was with Judas as a friend to the very end, to the very end. We call the end, you know, the Last Supper and then the betrayal. That's the betrayal. And then Jesus is on the cross. We call that the end. It's not really the end. It was the beginning of all things new.
Yes.
Because Christ was resurrected from the dead, our dead works now and our dead thoughts and the way that we get so wrapped up in our own opinions and our own agendas and the need to correct somebody or control something, the way that that happens in us as humans now has the beautiful resurrection of love that we can turn to. We have to be willing to jump off the wheel, jump off the train
yes.
that keeps us going in a direction of our humanity and tradition of man. So we're reading this out of 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus has put all things, so God has put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet.
Yes.
And Jesus is ruling and reigning in his love. We get to choose this, and all things are put in subjection. Oh, this is a beautiful passage here, and we're not going to have time to finish it today. In 1 Corinthians 15:27-28, when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one, to God,
yes.
who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. And God is love. That's what we want, love to be all in all.
They are working in perfect agreement and harmony.
Yes.
And we read in Amos, can two walk together except they be in agreement? And we need to have those kind of relationships, friend, on this earth. When there's somebody that's butting his head always against what you're saying, it gets so hard and exhausting to endure that.
But it does.
When you meet like-minded people who love God and you're talking about in the same channel, you're going down the same river, down mm-hmm. floating down the same river, it's just such a pleasure and a refreshing instead of such an obstacle.
I want to say thank you for, I know I stay very cheerful and optimistic. And at one point in my life, that was maybe an unhealthy way of not facing some of the other things, of avoiding things in life. Mm-hmm. I've walked through so much now that it's not an unhealthy optimism. It is faith. It is complete and total trust and hope in my God, whom I know has worked all things together for good. Mm-hmm. He's done it over and over, and he will do it again.
Yes.
And so when I am being so optimistic, when we hear something on the news and I just chirp up and I just say, oh, God is working this. He's on the move. He's doing something. And there are times when you'll look at me and just go, okay, I'm just not that jovial right now. I've heard other people say that.
We're in a different situation. And what's so good about that, Kimberly, is that God is preparing our hearts. And each one of us is so different in our calling.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that he's going to get us all to the point of being sanctified and redeemed and resurrected.
Amen.
And are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
I just wanted to say thank you, though, because you'll come alongside and go, you know what? It's true. He is working for our good. And it's hard on those who are optimistic to have somebody else always be saying to them, oh, no, this is a bad one. But when you come alongside and just in agreement, thank you for that. I don't get that in a lot of places.
We'll find that people that are smiling and optimistic all the time, Kimberly, have enemies. And that's one thing Jesus said to guard against, because you will have those people that love you, but you will have people that are opposed to what you are doing or how you're smiling or how you're looking at life. So we hope, friend, that you will join us tomorrow as we continue in this. We want you growing. We want you loving Jesus more and more each day. That's what we're here for. So God bless you and keep you, and know that we are for you. We are praying with you all every day. If you want to email me at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org, give me your prayer request, your heart cries, and I will let you know by either calling you if you leave a phone number that I can talk to you, or by an email. God bless you. That's what I can say today. God bless you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in